Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
Welcome to the Bloomberg P&L Podcast. I'm Pim Fox, along with my co-host, Lisa Abramowitz.
Each day, we bring you the most important, noteworthy, and useful interviews for you and your money, whether you're at the grocery store or the trading floor.
Find the Bloomberg P&L Podcast on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Bloomberg.com. Mike Regan, he is our Bloomberg stocks editor and the blogger at M Live.
So he's really live.
He's always live. Is the market live today?
Live and direct.
Right.
It sure is. Yeah, I think it's fair to call this obviously a dovish surprise from Janet Yellen's testimony today. The remarks about the uncertainty surrounding the inflation outlook.
Just to be clear, this is from the statement that was previously released.
Right, right. The remarks, the prepared remarks that she'll deliver to the House soon. Obviously, missing is the word transitory. That inflation is the declines in inflation are based on transitory factors, and the word uncertainties sort of replacing it, makes people obviously think she's being a little bit more dovish than perhaps the market was positioned going into it. And the reaction in the stock market is pretty textbook. You've got real estate companies in the lead, financials at the back. So the rate sensitive banks are underperforming. The companies that do well with lower interest rates, real estate, utilities, telecom, that sort of thing are all doing well. And obviously a big move. So, it's safe to say this was a decent surprise for the markets.
You know, one thing that I thought was interesting, and Tom Keene alluded to it earlier, he was saying, talking about the yield curve, right? And it's sort of interesting that across the yield curve, you're seeing something different. So in the 2 and 30 yield curve, the difference between 30-year yields and 2-year yields, you're seeing a bit of a flattening, but you're seeing a pretty significant steepening in the gap between 5-year and 30-year Treasury yields, as well as 10 and 30 years. Just in the office to let us know what his take is, Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist for Bloomberg Intelligence. Carl, is this market response indicating that many bond traders believe that Janet Yellen and the Federal Reserve will allow inflation to pick up more than they had previously been expecting, given her more dovish comments?
I don't think that that's really the case here. I think the markets are, in the last few weeks, have been responding to this Draghi taper tantrum. I think this will ultimately prove to be short-lived, but the markets are expressing real doubts about how much the Fed is going to ultimately move compared to what they're signaling in their summary of economic projections.
When you say move, you mean raise
in terms of rate increases?
Because she basically said, we're almost done. I mean, in so many words.
Well, she said that we're almost to neutral, but neutral will move higher as the economy continues to improve. So she is kind of sticking with the Fed plan that the terminal rate, or the at least the neutral rate, will ultimately move closer to 2.5% or 3%.
I got to say, I feel like I'm in a game of Scrabble and someone has just shaken up the entire board. Neutral moves higher? Could we just understand what this is? Are they looking for more reasons to lower rate, to keep rates low, or are they looking for reasons to move rates higher?
So they want to be moving rates higher, but this goes back to the notion that's going to give you a headache when I say it, R star. So the neutral interest rate, and so they have indicated that that was depressed after the financial crisis.
Right,
it's
right.
Moving higher, and it will move higher still. But as the Fed funds rate is moving higher, then it's closing the gap with neutral.
How many rate increases is Bloomberg Economics forecasting for this year?
Well, currently we are looking for one more this year, but it's really going to depend on the inflation numbers. The Fed is even less. Inflation is backsliding. The Fed is ramping up the pace of normalization at the same time that inflation's moving in the wrong direction, 1.4% on the core PC deflator. They're trying to hit 2%. So with that backsliding, they really risk their inflation credibility because they have underperformed on that objective for the last several years.
Okay, so you're saying currently we're on tap for one rate increase, but all of this. How about for next year?
Three, but again, three. I'm going to say
same
the risk
okay,
is
that's
to,
all right. I just...
the risk is to the downside. And the fundamental reason behind that, I don't think we have a clear sense of what the reaction and the exchange rate is going to be when the balance sheet unwind starts.
Good point.
When QE was initiated, the trade-weighted dollar fell to a three-decade low. When you throw that engine into reverse, I think it's a big mistake to assume that we won't see dollar strengthening, although recent Fed comments, including Governor Brainard's speech yesterday, tried to make the case that this will not be a significant driver of a strong
dollar.
You saw
what happened. It's a very good point you make because, of course, this is what happened in Canada just recently.
Absolutely.
I mean, the Canadian
currency
dollar is
levels absolutely matter, and it matters to a lot more than just the export sector.
Well, so right now we're seeing yields down across the board where people basically because of Yellen's generally perceived to be dovish stance. But I have to wonder, Mike Regan, how much this is a continuation of a play to safety or a flight to safety and an expectation that growth will slow because of gridlock in Washington that we saw really take hold yesterday in the wake of the release of emails from Donald Trump Jr. That seemed to show his full understanding of who he was meeting with and that he was going to be getting information that could be harmful to Hillary Clinton's campaign from the Russians.
Yeah, there was a brief spasm of flight to safety yesterday after those emails came out, after Trump Jr. tweeted them, in fact, himself. But looking at the equity market now, Dow averages up 160 points above its record close. So it's hard to really say there's a flight to safety going on.
And to be clear, I'm not saying that people are worried that the government's going to fall apart. But Dan Iveson of PIMCO put it eloquently when he said, look, this just makes it even harder for Congress to push through their proposals that could potentially help growth. This goes to your point, Carl, about inflation. How can inflation pick up without that fiscal stimulus that people were expecting that would only come with some kind of agreement and some kind of leadership in Washington, right? I mean, this is all playing into the outlook for growth, no? Yeah.
Ultimately, inflation will be a reaction to the pace of growth in the economy. So if we are meandering along at 2% growth, like we have for most of the current economic cycle, then we should see similar types of inflation results. So you can get past 2% if you keep rates really accommodative, if you have a fiscal stimulus package, but neither of those seem to be transpiring. So it doesn't make sense to me that policymakers are confident we're going to hit their inflation objective if they are dramatically accelerating the pace of tightening in an economy that has yet to show any evidence that it is bucking the trend that has prevailed for 8 years running.
Good, very good point. Carl Riccadonna, please stay with us because we've really kind of elevated the discussion to another point. You've really made some interesting comments.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
And I want to bring in Chris Condon. He is our Fed reporter for Bloomberg. He's also here to talk a little bit about Gary Cohen, right? I mean, he might be a candidate to replace Janet Yellen as Fed chair next year. Gary Cohen, currently National Economic Council director. Chris, maybe just, if you can, just take a leaf from Carl's book here. And Mike Regan, I want to thank you. If you want to hang out, we love you, but I know you actually have to go do some work.
I better go write some blog posts.
There you go, at MLive Go on the Bloomberg. Chris, Carl made the point that we are in a point where maybe we're making a very big mistake. Does anybody else feel that that is more important to discuss than what we're going to hear today about a short-term move in interest rate or so?
Sure, Pim. There are many people concerned about that sort of longer-term direction of the Fed and how it's going to deal with this whole riddle surrounding unemployment and inflation. And on top of that, as you know, there's a big question over who will be the next Fed chair if Janet Yellen is not going to continue, and that connects directly to that question.
Well, yeah, and we saw a political story out yesterday saying that the leading candidate to replace Chair Yellen is, drumroll please, Gary Cohen, the current chief economic advisor to President Trump and former Goldman Sachs chief operating officer. So, Carl, what's the take on him?
Well, he's an administration pick for the NEC, so that raises questions about the political independence of the Fed if you're having one of your own now moving into the role of Fed chair.
Yeah.
It's hard to see Cohen being a policy hawk and raising rates aggressively or tightening policy aggressively, which would then hurt economic performance and run contrary to the objectives of the administration. I just can't see that.
Yeah.
The optics are not particularly great. It'd be better to be someone who is a little bit more distant from the administration.
Well, and Gary Cohen is not an economist either. Chris, I'd love to get your take on the process that President Trump would have to go through to get Gary Cohen to be the head of the Fed, because my understanding mm-hmm. is that any Fed chair has to be appointed from sitting Fed members. So he is not currently a Fed member. How would this work?
Well, you have to be a governor to be selected to be chair of the Board of Governors and chair of the Federal Reserve System. But given that there are vacancies on the board, the president could select anyone he wished, assuming they'd be approved in the Senate, to become a governor and be elevated to the position of chair simultaneously. So that's not exactly, unless he were to fill up the three vacancies with other people and then assume Janet Yellen
Chris, I'm sorry, we're going to have to leave it there. Chris Condon, Fed reporter for Bloomberg, Carl Cadana, chief U.S. economist for Bloomberg Intelligence. Thanks for listening to the Bloomberg P&L podcast.
You can subscribe and listen to interviews at Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or whatever podcast platform you prefer. I'm Pim Fox. I'm on Twitter at Pim Fox.
I'm on Twitter at Lisa Abramowitz 1. Before the podcast, you can always catch us worldwide on Bloomberg Radio.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.